Rockies 1029, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. Our music expert, you get him every Friday morning. Good morning, Gary. How are you? It's Gary Graff.
How are you guys? See, you guys made it over the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't even hard.
Yeah, well, you're strong, beefy guys. I mean, you know, it's gonna take more than that to keep you away from the fun and the sun.
Well, I'm not sure they'll let us back, but you know,
that's a whole lot of
we made it here.
Right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you know, you can actually watch the show, Gary, on Facebook Live. Where a lot of it is just being up, and you can watch it as it's happening. We have cameras all around us.
They do have like parental advisories and stuff for it, don't they?
I can't guarantee anything. All right, let's get in. Speaking of parents, a big battle between what? Chris Robinson and Kate Hudson.
Chris Robinson,
a child custody thing. Man, these two cannot get along.
Well, actually, they were getting along for a while, you know, after the divorce. But Chris Robinson is now taking Kate Hudson to court. He wants to revise, or I guess they call it reevaluate, the custody arrangement with their 13-year-old son, Ryder. And this is actually something that even dates back a couple of years. There was, I guess, an understanding that the custody arrangement needed to be reevaluated, and it was in Kate Hudson's lap to make it happen. And the two of them just couldn't come to terms, so they have to go back into court now. And, you know, they'll go through the standard procedure. You know, the court will interview each of the parents as well as the son, and all that's supposed to be wrapped up by June 30. You know, Chris Robinson is looking for more time with his son, and so we'll see. You know, we'll see how that pans out.
All right, then there's John Mellencamp. I have no idea what label he's on, but he's leaving his label.
Well, he left his label. He did an interview this week where he laid out a couple of very interesting things. The first was he was with Columbia Records briefly during the early aughts. You know, I think it was like 2000 to 2003, and he recorded two albums with them. But then, you know, said in this interview this week, which nobody had ever heard, that he left because during a meeting between his manager and the guy who was the president of the label president dropped the N-word. You know, he was unhappy that Mellencamp was recording, you know, and releasing songs with so many African American singers. The case in point here was, I think it was called Better World or something like that. He was singing with NDRE, and also on the same album he had Chuck D from Public Enemy. And, you know, this did not please the label president at the time. They felt like they couldn't get mainstream rock or even like adult contemporary airplay if there was a black artist on a John Mellencamp song.
So they wanted more stuff like Pink Houses or Jack and
right.
Diane.
Well, everybody wants the hits again and again and again. So the guy drops the N-word, and I guess, you know, the manager told Mellencamp, and Mellencamp got him, you know, called his lawyer and just said, get me off this label, which he did. And, you know, he's been...
All right, and what's
to his credit.
Well, the other thing...
And he talked about
his his relationship or lack thereof with Meg Ryan. You know, they dated briefly during the last couple of years. And you know, Mellencamp just said in this interview, you know, basically that he's a schmuck and he still loves Meg Ryan. She hates him. He doesn't blame her. And you know, he basically feels for any woman that has to spend romantic time with him.
That's easy to say when you're a tortured artist, right?
Exactly.
No, it helps to be an artist.
Exactly.
Hey, this Eagles Fleetwood Mac festival, the Eagles Fleetwood Mac festival.
Yeah,
who's singing the Glenn Frey parts?
Last year we had Desert Trip, and now Irving Azoff, you know, the super manager in California, who was supposedly one of the forces behind Desert Trip, is launching what they're going to call Classic East and Classic West. It's going to be the Eagles and Fleetwood Mac playing. They'll play two weekends in each location. So 2 weekends in New York at Citi Field, which is where the Mets play, and then 2 weekends at Dodger Stadium in L.A. These are the only shows supposedly Fleetwood Mac is going to do all year. Obviously, the first full-scale concert the Eagles have done since Glenn Frey passed away, you know, going on 14 months now, and well after Don Henley and the other members of the Eagles have said, no way, no how will we ever play again as the Eagles. So, you know, money clearly talks. And they're going to be doing this.
Bunch of Southern California hippies, they sure fall in line for the dough.
Exactly.
I mean, this is the second big time they've done that.
Yeah, they're going to be adding other artists to these bills. They haven't given out the date yet, so we don't know quite when it's happening. But, you know, those will be a big deal. And, you know, now the question, of course, is, okay, does this blow Desert Trip out? You know, or are you still going to be able to have that Desert Trip Festival in the fall out in California? And, you know, the police were
rumored. And no word on who sings for Glenn?
No, not yet. You know, Henley had in an interview talked about Glenn's son being like, you know, a chip off the old block. You know, I don't know. That seems to be stretching it a little bit. Do you bring in Jackson Browne? Do you do a show that just has fewer Glenn Frey songs? You know, if it's a big festival,
do you do Coke and Whores with Glenn's son, or just
do you get several guest singers to come and do the Glenn songs?
How old is Don Henley now, Gary?
Don Henley's what, 67, I think. 68,
60 something.
68. Don has got to learn to hold his tongue, because every time he says, "We will never get back together again." That's what he said before hell freezes over. And then he says, yeah, I can't. There's no way. I guess that's it for us. I'm the curator of the Eagles songs now, but we'll never play as a band again. 2 months later, there they are on stage doing whatever. Now, until they actually hit the stage in New York or Los Angeles, it's not a done deal. But, man, they always seem to kind of backtrack a little bit.
Well, and how many other rock stars can we say this about? You know, how many times has Elton John retired? How many times did David Bowie retire before he, you know, permanently retired? You know, this is just part of the rock and roll game. You know, part of the entertainment game. Frank Sinatra retired quite a few times too. So,
well, here's the one I can't wait to ask you about. Quiet Riot's going to name their new singer today, so they're like, hey, we're back at it. Look at us, we're here. Who is it going to be?
Well, you American Idol fans, season 10, James Durbin, who was the fourth place finisher.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, he was that season's rock dog. You know, he sang with Judas Priest, and you know, during the show, and you know, so he came. Basically, Frankie Benali, the drummer who runs Quiet Riot now, had seen James Durbin play on Idol and always kind of kept him in the back of their mind. What's interesting is Quiet Riot has a new album coming out April 21st with another singer. You know, they had another singer in the band, and they recorded this album. Then they start doing shows with the guy, and it's just not working out. So this will be the great lost, as if you need one, this will be the great lost Quiet Riot album, because they're just going to ignore it. They're going to go on the road with James Durbin starting, I think, March 18th. And then you know, they say they're going to try to get back in the studio pretty soon to record an album of songs with him, as if the world is waiting for new Quiet Riot songs.
If everybody hates Nickelback, why is someone impersonating their drummer? I mean, you know.
I couldn't pick their drummer. If our drummer was sitting here in front of us right now in Mexico, I couldn't pick him out, Gary.
No, you couldn't. You know, the drummer's name is Daniel Adair, and he had been with several bands over the years, and just this week, a guy in Florida, you know, his name is, let's see, it's got it here, it's Lee Harvey Koenig, a.k.a. Mr. Wookie. So if you're looking on Facebook, look for Mr. Wookie. He was arrested for fraud for impersonating Daniel Adair, Nickelback's drummer, and ordering $25,000 worth of musical equipment under Adair's name from a company in Austria. Apparently not the first time Mr. Wookie has been arrested for fraud. There was another one back in 2007. So I just think, you know, for Nickelback, there are so many people who try to distance themselves from the band and diss the band. You know, it must be, you know, kind in a way nice that somebody actually wants to be associated with them.
So this is more like identity theft than hitting on girls in bars by saying you're the drummer for Nickelback.
Yeah, no, this is actual.
Like
this is actual. Although, I'm ordering $25,000 worth of musical equipment.
All right, well, let's stay on drummers for a second because Joey, is it Joey Kramer?
Oh, yeah.
That got things all stirred up with the Stones?
Yeah, talk about guys who probably should learn to keep their mouth shut a little bit. Joey Kramer did an interview with a British publication because Aerosmith's going to be touring Europe later this year, basically saying, yeah, you know, the Rolling Stones never did anything for me, especially in the drum department. And he went on to talk about how, you know, Aerosmith is better. Aerosmith has been around longer with the original guys, and the Stones are, eh. You know, and it's like, listen, your band copped its entire act from the Rolling Stones, okay? Not only that, Charlie Watts has been known to hit people and throws a mean right hook, even for a guy in his 70s. There's a famous story about Charlie Watts that Mick Jagger did an interview talking about Charlie Watts as his drummer. You know, he referred to him as my drummer. And I guess Charlie dressed up to the nines in like a three-piece suit, you know, tie and everything, went down to Mick's hotel room right after this interview, knocked on his door, Mick answers the door, Charlie decks him and just tells him, don't ever...
For calling him...
Don't ever call me your drummer again, you're my singer. And walked away.
Yeah, okay. All right. Good for Charlie. Good for him.
I heard we were just talking about the Stones the other night here, and Rock was saying he was backstage and met the Stones one time. He got a meet and greet and said that Charlie Watts was the most affable, nicest guy of all the Stones backstage. Not that they all weren't. He said couldn't understand a word that Keith was fielding questions. They were talking, but he goes, I couldn't understand a word he was saying. But he said Charlie was wonderful.
Yes,
Charlie is a very sweet
Mick
guy.
Or Keith got under his skin at one point.
Yeah, no, Charlie is a very sweet guy. He's very low-key. He's very affable. You know, he does not put up with BS, though, whether it's Mick Jagger calling him his singer or fans, you know, kind of fawning over him. He just likes to be his own guy. So, yeah, if I'm Joey Kramer and I'm in Europe and the hotel, somebody knocks on the hotel door, I look through the peephole first.
All right, and finally, before we let you go, Rick Derringer pleads guilty to what? Firearms possession?
Yeah, he was on a flight from Mexico, in fact, going into Atlanta, and it was not a Derringer pistol, by the way. Didn't have one of those, but he thought because he had a concealed gun permit, he could you know have the gun in his bag and carry it on the plane. You can't. You know, what made this a little more interesting, though, is apparently he claimed to have done it a number of times already, just kind of, you know, walked it through security and everything. So apparently a few TSA agents have been investigated and at least one was fired, you know, because they did look at Rick Derringer's travel records and went to find out and discovered, yeah, he was permitted, or, you know, the gun was allowed on the plane a few times, so... So this has had more repercussions.
All right, Gary.
But apparently only a $1,000 fine for doing it.
All right. I'll keep that in mind the next time I want to take a gun
coming,
on an airplane.
Yeah, from Mexico.
Yeah, when you get the 20 years in prison.
Yeah, I'll remember that. All right, Gary, thanks for the time this morning. We appreciate it.
Have a great rest of the time there.